with our souls. Those of us that are saved, anybody in our midst are hearing these words that isn't saved, Lord, just pray that today would be the day of salvation, the day when they come to know You as Savior. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I know most of you or all of you don't know. I'm taking a course on the chaplaincy. I've been a chaplain for umpteen years, but one of the things on becoming chaplain of the police force is taking, you know, a couple of courses and things like that. So I am doing that now. And I was working on it this morning, early this morning, and I went to James 1:19. I mean, one of the things about ministry is sometimes you need to be a little slower to speak and quicker to hear. The title of my message is "Do You Have Ears to Hear?" And you'd be surprised how many times we don't hear other people. We're focused on what am I going to say next. I do it all the time. I don't hear people. I'm thinking, you know, what's my, you know, what do I have to say? And sometimes it's innocent with all of us. You're thinking, well, how am I going to help this person? How am I going to minister to them? Well, what am I going to say that's going to help them in a certain way? And that's a big part of the chaplaincy, you know, but a big part of it also is just listening, Sometimes you just need to be slow to speak. James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So obviously slow to wrath, you say, oh, that's a no brainer. Well, not everybody is. Sometimes we want to, you know, somebody says something, we just want to latch on to them. Then we don't ever consider how guilty we are when we speak and we say things and we regret what we say. But boy, when somebody else does it to us, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Better watch out. Hey, be swift to hear. If we would learn to be swift to hear, we would learn also to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. In John 6:63, it says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words of Jesus, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So Jesus said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. If there's one thing you need to get out of the message today, it's that admonition from the book of James. Don't be so quick to answer somebody. Sometimes the Bible says, you know, you need to think about your answer before you speak. I don't think I do it quite as much now, being in the pastorate again. I'm not as quick as I was to speak because I have to think about my words. I have to think about the ramifications of my words. I was going to preach on the mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth. That which is good, the use of edifying, may minister grace unto the hearers. I was going to go into that this morning, but we're not going to. We may do that tonight. I don't know if you want to skip in case you're guilty. I'll find out who's guilty on that. If you're not here tonight, just kidding. Just kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, the thing you have, to have ears to hear, spiritual ears, in chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You need to have a set of spiritual ears. The only way you can hear God is if you are spiritually in tune with what God wants you to have and to hear. Too many times we are not a spiritual people. Spiritual people are people that, number one, you've been saved. And then number two, your growth has taken place. You're no longer a baby, or maybe a baby is spiritual, but they're just at a lower level. And then as you grow, you start eating the meat of the Word. Listen, this is a Bible teaching church. One of the things that I love about this church 40 years ago, why I came here, was I was over at another church, ended up getting saved, came here, started learning the Bible, and I was like, good night, that's what it's about. And most people never experience that all their life. Now, you can be 50 years saved and still be a baby in Christ. You know why? Because you've never grown the way God intended us to grow up. And by the way, I don't want a bunch of babies in church. I don't. My big thing is I want to take somebody from being a baby to being an adult as quick as possible, because the sooner that people grow up, the less problems you have as a pastor. You know, you know what babies want? Babies want all the attention. Babies think it's all about me. Now look, they don't consciously, a little baby go, well, it's all about me. You know, little babies just, that's natural. So you know what a baby is? Natural. You know, we need to become supernatural. We need to not think about ourselves so much, but to think and to focus on God and realize that, look, it's all about Him. And as we make it all about Him, it becomes less about us. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Do you have ears to hear? Is the question of the message. Mark 9, verse 7. Mark 9, verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." You know what the command is? Hear Jesus. You and I, we need to hear Him. We need to hear Him. I look at my life. I told you what happened 40 years ago. Eddie Mills and I were out, and we were able to go visit in the dorms on base at the time. And you know, he just said to me one time, I can't wait to see what God's going to use you to do. That was foreign to me. What do you mean? What does that mean? God is going to use me. I mean, I'm out on visitation. I still don't understand that comment. I'm studying my Bible. I still don't know that. I mean, I just wanted more Bible, more learning, more growing. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. But I didn't understand his comment. I can't wait to see what God's going to use you to do. And by the way, I say that to every one of you. I can't wait to see what God's going to use you to do, because you never know what God's going to do. God didn't finish with any of us. God has a purpose for everybody. What is your purpose? You know, your purpose is not my purpose. I can't focus on you and say, oh, this is what God has led me to do, therefore this is what He wants you to do. He wants you to be saved. I know that, because God is not willing any should perish. That's the will of God. After that, your growth and your maturity and your Christian walk in life is between you and God, and listen, the resources are what? Well, that's why we have church. Why is that? It's a resource. You know what we do in Sunday school? We teach the Bible. You know what we do during the Sunday morning service? You say, oh, you preach. Yeah, but don't think I'm not teaching. What do we do on Sunday night? Teach the Bible. Preach the Bible. What do we do on Wednesday night? Preach the Bible. Why? Because there's nothing more important. You say, oh, you take prayer requests. Listen, prayer is important. So therefore, we spent time in Sunday school this morning and took some prayer requests. And we didn't even go live because we took so many prayer requests, and then we went into testimonies. And listen, that's a part of it too. Every now and then we will do that. I don't do it often enough. I look at Thanksgiving coming up in November. Be ready. Come in ready to say, hey, how's God blessed you this year? Just don't say anything about COVID. It's a non-COVID event. Whenever we do this Thanksgiving thing, it's a non-COVID event. Unless, of course, He pulled you through and you lived and, you know, you had a miraculous recovery and it's all about God. Okay, I'm joking to some degree, but I'm saying, look, be thinking about how God's blessed you. But you know what church is about? What church is supposed to be about? Learning and growing and maturing. He says that in Mark 9. Look at Mark 7. Mark 7. 18 times this is there. Mark 7, verse 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's a command. So if you have ears to hear, the Bible says, let him hear. Sometimes you don't hear because you don't have ears to hear. There's another verse. Let me see if it's right there. It's not. I think it's later on. It says, let these words sink deep into your ears. I just find the terminology that we use sometimes. You know, let it sink. You tell a child, let it all sink in. Why don't you let it sink in? That's from the Bible. We need to let things sink in our ears into our heart, and then it'll make a difference that only God can make. That's 18 times, I believe, in Mark, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's Jesus saying that. Mark 8, verse 18. Mark 8, 18. Having eyes, see ye not? That's a question. You have eyes, don't you see? By the way, if you can't see what's going on in the world, you don't have spiritual eyesight. You need to have spiritual eyesight. You know what will happen? The more spiritually your eyesight becomes, you'll get less discouraged in what's going on in the world. Now you say, well, it's discouraging to see they're taking this great country and destroying it. I get that. But you know what? You ought to be able to overcome that and realize that God's in control. God isn't allowing these things to happen except for His purpose. Maybe it's going to take the chaff and the wheat and sort of separate that stuff a little bit. Maybe whenever it all blows through, we'll find out who truly loves the Lord. Not what we find out, but God will find out what truly is in your heart. Are you just one that's going to go through the motions and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'll stand for God? What happens when the persecution comes? The tribulation, not the period itself of 7 years, which is Daniel's 70th week. I'm talking about tribulation in your life. What are you going to do? Those that have ears to hear, they'll hear the message. He says, having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? He says, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. You need to hear and you need to see the things God wants you to see. And the only way to do that is to have some spiritual discernment about you. The whole Word of God is spiritually discerned. The reason people get upset about the Bible and say, well, I need something that reads so much easier because I can't understand it. The problem is they're not spiritually in tuned with what God wants to tell them. You don't need to change the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You don't need to say, I need something that reads like a novel. Well, go get the Living Bible and find out how much you get out of that. Listen, I could never preach from a Living Bible. You know, I'm not talking about the Living Bible. I'm talking about a Living Bible written by a man. And they called it the Living Bible. Nothing but a dead book. Nothing but a dead book. Look at John 18. John chapter 18. Jesus was standing before Pilate in verse 37. Let's just jump in the middle of the thing. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You know why people don't hear the voice of God? I don't mean an audible voice. If you hear an audible voice, run. Wake up. You know, take some Tums for your indigestion. It was your stomach growling. It wasn't God. My stomach can growl like somebody's speaking to me sometimes. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Why don't you hear from God? Maybe because you don't look at the Bible and say, that is truth. Exalt the Word of God. By the way, you should exalt the Word of God. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I am the Word. He's the Word. Why would you not look at the Bible and exalt it and say, this Word right here is how I'm going to raise my children, how I'm going to live my life, how I'm going to interact with others. The only way I know what to do is because of the Word of God. I would have no clue in life. Oh, I could go through the motions and I could sort of stumble and fumble through life, but I don't want to stumble and fumble through life. You know what I want? I want direction. I want to know what I'm supposed to do and then get busy doing it. And the only way to know that is to know my Bible and live my Bible and hear from Him. When I say hear, I'm not talking about an audible voice. Again, if you're listening to that stuff on television, they say, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me and He said this. And by the way, we all say that. I've tried to stop saying that. The Lord told me. Listen, if you come to me and you tell me, well, the Lord told me to do this, I'm going to look at you and go, well, don't let me get in the way. When I want to, when I really inside want to say, so tell me, how did that happen? No, no. The Lord impressed upon my heart. That's okay. And that's actually better than the Lord told me. You always get that with people. They'll say, well, the Lord told me to go to another church. You know, when they've been here 20 years, they go, well, the Lord told me to go to another church. What do you say to that? Well, if the Lord told you to do it, I can't argue with that. Well, the Lord impressed upon my heart to do X, Y, and Z. Listen, that is the way we need to speak. Because if we start saying the Lord told us, and we say it in such a way, we're going to sound like we're a little wacko to the world. So be careful. It's just, it's semantics. But it also is important because we have to be careful on how we convey how God deals with a person. He does not speak to people like he did when that voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. You're not going to hear a voice from heaven. There's no angel flying through the clouds like he's going to do in the Daniel 70th week. There's going to be an angel with the everlasting gospel flying through the clouds. God doesn't work that way in this dispensation. It's just not how he works. Look at Romans chapter 10. If you don't have faith, and everybody has a semblance of faith, if you are not, if you don't feel like your faith is strong enough, and probably none of us do, if you really think that you need more faith, and all of us probably do, here's your answer. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you have ears to hear? Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. The word of God will make you more in tuned with the word of God, or God. You want to know what God wants you to do? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Go back to verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know why? You know why I love being a preacher? Because, number one, that's what God called me to do. A lot of years ago. And then I just got busy. I was in nursing home twice a month, and Faith Rescue Mission once a month, and then, you know, radio broadcast three times a week. This is while I was in Bible college after I got called to preach. And, you know, then I was in juvenile detention centers every week, several times a week at times. Then I was Faith Rescue Mission three times a week, and it just kept building and building and building and building. Why? Because I was called to be a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? You know what I wanted to do in my life? I wanted to impact people for the glory of God. By the way, it doesn't take a preacher to do that. You know what you ought to want to do? You ought to want to impact people for the glory of God. It's not just my job. It's not even my job. It's my calling. It's your calling too. You ought to want every person you come in contact with, you should want to impact them in a way that glorifies God and changes their life. What happens when you fail? Give it another shot. We all fail. We all make blunders. We all make mistakes. We all do things. We all say things we shouldn't say. Look at Mark chapter 4. So now we looked at being swift to hear, having spiritual ears. Here's, you know, the command, let him hear, or hear him from, you know, that's speaking to you. Everyone that is of the truth hears the Lord's voice. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now the next verse we're going to look at in Mark chapter 4 talks about taking heed what ye hear. Verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Remember I told you that I was in there 18 times. We look at Mark 7, 16 earlier. Now we're Mark 4, 23. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. You don't need to listen to everything that's said. The news. We call it fake news. Of course, now fake news is the truth, according to the fake news that's out there. You know how I know what to do? If the media is for it, I'm against it. In general, if the Democrats are for it, I pretty well know that it's probably not a good idea. I've been reading lately on, the Republicans are just not about increasing the debt ceiling and the blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at it going, are you guys nuts? We're paying the interest. We can't even pay the interest on the national debt, which is Federal Reserve, which is a whole other quagmire. But I look at that and I'm thinking, the bad guys are the ones that are trying to control spending? That's what it is. The bad guys are saying, no, you shouldn't take money from hardworking people and give it to people that don't want to work. Oh yeah, and not only that, but we're going to even stop them from working. And then we got people that have gone through COVID and sacrificed and done everything they can do to try to help others, the first responders, the people on the front lines, in the hospitals, and they did all they could do to keep people alive, and then we're going to fire them because they won't take a shot because they feel like they have a right to say no. Wow, what kind of country has this become? Oh, still a great country. It's just that we're an insane asylum run by the inmates, as Lester Roloff said. Daggone inmates are running this insane asylum we got going on right now. He says, take heed what ye hear. You need to be careful what you put into your mind. I know if it comes from the internet, it's all truth. I get that. Yeah. Speaking of that, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. I can prove to you that you need to give me everything that you have. I can. Acts chapter 4, they had all things common. They brought it and they laid it at the apostles' feet. All I got to do is tell you I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. This is no longer Faith Independent Baptist Church. We're the Church of the Apostles. And how many of you want to be an apostle? All right, come on up here. We the apostles. You got what you got. Go take your car, sign it over to us. Bring your rings and your jewelry. They had all things common in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. They brought it to the apostles' feet and they made distributions. Every man had need, just like you. Well, you say, that's communism. That's where Karl Marx got it too, in seminary. Now, let me take it a step further. So you're going to lie? If you lie to me, to the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, God might just kill you. See, you can make the Bible say whatever you want to say. All you got to do is do what? Take it out of context. All you got to do is take somebody else's message and apply it to a time outside of that which God intended for it to be applied. And you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say and try to take advantage of people and control people. And you get a lot of that in this world. The reason you got the Jim Joneses of the world is because they were able to manipulate the Bible. The David Koreshes, they manipulated the Bible. He says, I got to open the seven seals. I got to interpret the seven seals. No, you dummy, they're already interpreted in the Bible. And yet you had a whole group of people that got burned up because you got some lunatic that says, hey, I'm the truth, I'm the way. Take heed what you hear. That's why it can be dangerous. The Bible can be a dangerous book. It's not a dangerous book, but it can be a dangerous book in the hands of a loony. And there are more loonies out there than there are Bible believers. Just some of them are less loony than the other ones. And they're even more dangerous because they put 90% truth and 10% lie. You know how dangerous 90% of the truth and 10% lie is? It's more dangerous than 100% lie that you can recognize. He says this, take heed what ye hear. Look at this. With what measure ye meet, verse 24 again, what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Look at what he said. Unto you that hear shall more be given. You want to grow in your Christian life? To you that hear, and you grow, more shall be given. You'll grow more and more and more and more. But boy, when you say, I'm not going to accept something because it costs me, I'm going to reject the truth because it costs me, then God will let you stagnate and dry up on the vine. I don't want to dry up on the vine. I want God to use me as much as He can use me. And then even if He uses me up for the glory of God, which I don't think He will do, or I don't think He intends to do, but I'd rather be used up for the glory of God than for the world. The world will use you and abuse you and spit you out. You look at people in Hollywood and all those rock stars. Some of you may have seen a video I've posted. It's gone out there a couple. I didn't post it. Somebody else did the other day. But it was, I was part of the Raisins, California Raisins. We were in Bible college and, you know, that song was out. So we all dressed up with these big trash bags and filled them up so they looked like a raisin. Painted face back. Put stockings on her hands, gloves on, hat on, glasses on. And it was the Christmas party, so we did skits. We came out there as the California Raisins. We came marching out. We had just done the 12 Days of Christmas. Well, on the 12 Days of Christmas, at the end of it, you know, you stand up, first day of Christmas, and then another group, second group, all the way through the 12, and then, or you know, and then you go really fast. So everybody was pumped from that 12 Days of Christmas that was done about five times the speed of what it's supposed to be. And here comes the California Raisins. I swear we found out what it was like to be a rock band. And I'll tell you, I was looking out there and those people were hollering and yelling and screaming. So then we get done with the whole, you know, we get done with it. And I have no beat to me. I'm telling you, I can't hold a tune in a bucket, let alone try to figure out how to move to a song. I was not a dancer, even the disco days. I mean, I got out there, but I was no good. I wasn't saved yet. Just so you know. But then we played it again. This time we came through the crowd. And they're all high-fiving us. And I mean, I'm telling you what, it was surreal. I got that much of a taste what it was like to be a rock star. It goes their head. You know what the devil does? The devil says, here it is. Here it is. Oh, you want some more of it? You got to do what I tell you to do. You got to do my bidding. You got, and it isn't verbal necessarily. It may be influenced. Somebody that sold their soul, the devil gets involved and says, you got to write these words to this song. It's got to have this beat. It's got to do this. And you're destroying a whole nation of young people and older people. And then he gets done and he's got people like Kurt Cobain who took a shotgun and blew his own head off. Why? Devil was done with him. Pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible says. There is pleasure in that. But boy, I think about that and they don't have any ears to hear. You want to know what God wants you to do, you better accept what God wants you to do here and now. And then what you do is you accept what God wants you to do. Well, what does He want you to do? Now, let me just tell you. He wants you to live godly in Christ Jesus. I mean, I know that, right? I mean, what is that? That's not news to anybody that knows their Bible. He wants you to be an ambassador for Him. He wants you to be an ambassador. He wants you to represent Him to the world. He wants you to get in your Bible and read it. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to do these things. And as you do these things, look at what it says. And unto you that hear shall more be given. You want to get more? Do the little things right. All of us in our life, sometimes we get to, oh, I want to do the big things. If God give me $1 million, I'd give $100,000 to church. But boy, I can't give a dollar from 10. That's just an example. I mean, it's the truth. If you can't give a dollar from 10 or two from 20, and I'm just, you know, the tithe, that's Old Testament. I was asked that question the other day. I said, yeah, I said, I believe you ought to give systematically. You ought to give willingly, not begrudgingly, not of necessity. I don't believe in the tithe. I've always thought more like 20%. You want to be true? If they can give 10% of the blood and bulls and goats, what ought you give unto the blood of Jesus Christ? You say, well, you shouldn't be preaching about money. I'm not really preaching about money. It's just a point I'm trying to make. You want to be blessed to God, you do what God tells you to do. And listen, you can give all your money to church and die and go to hell and it ain't going to do you any good. You can give all your money to church and not be right with God and it's not going to do you any good. But I'll tell you what, those that can't give and won't give generally is indicative of a person whose heart is not right before God. So whoever needed that, it's for you. I don't preach on money. Half the time I forget to take the daggone offering. I keep saying daggone probably 3 times this morning. I got to quit saying that. Some of you have been influencing me. I've been hearing you say it. Not really. Nobody has said it around me. I need to quit that. Hey, he says, take heed what ye hear. You saw that, right? There it is in verse 24. Take heed what ye hear. Look at Luke 8. Let me show you what he says. He says, not only take heed what ye hear, then he says, take heed how ye hear. Luke 8:18. Look at what Jesus said. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. How? What does that mean? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Both of those passages talk about, and unto you that hear shall more be given. You notice that thing about hearing has a lot to do with getting more. Maybe our problem is we don't listen to God. I know that's my problem. When I get in trouble, I do something I shouldn't do. Why is that? He gave me a way to escape, right? Doesn't he say there's no temptation? There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So when you do wrong, whose fault? Certainly in God. Why? He's given you a way to escape every single time. Do you take that way out? Or do you say, I'm going to break my neck and I'm going to do what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me to do anything otherwise? Then you're not hearing. You're not listening. You're not going to grow and get more. Look at what he says. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He says, therefore, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Why? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. You have the truth? God will give you more truth. It's all about hearing. You know, if we would all get in tune with what God wants us to do, we would hear Him. And He would guide us. He would lead us. He would direct us. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12. 48. The last part of it. You know the verse. Luke 12:48. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. Has God given you much? Just being born in this country is much. You know why there are people trying to come across that border? Caravans of them. We won't get into that. I mean, we've got closed borders, of course, according to Washington. You know why they're trying to come here? Because we've been given much. Maybe we've just played fast and loose. We got abortion on demand. We got gambling, prostitution. All kinds of things that go on that God frowns upon. We've been given much. God requires much of us. Not just speaking of this country. This country is blessed. I've been all around the world. I've been to the jungles of Venezuela and watch a guy snort from a 30-foot pole. And he's just got this spit all over him just so he can get a high. That's what he was doing. And I'm sitting in that teepee thing and I'm like, man, that is just wild. And all day they just, whatever they're blowing across that thing into the other guy's nose or mouth, whatever it was. So what happens in this country? Sure it does. Didn't have to. This country was blessed. The only reason we got a drug problem is because we allowed this country to be overtaken by influences that are trying to destroy it. They could have stopped a lot of that. You just take the poppy fields and set them on fire. But no, what do? We trade drugs for guns, guns for drugs and money. And it's all about money. Follow the money. Follow the money. There are people that are more concerned about money than they are about your children's welfare. About this country's welfare. And they do whatever it takes. You know what you do? You put those people in jail and never let them out. You know what you do? You go ahead and put a couple of them to death and find out it's the death penalty if you get doing that. You find out how deterrent it is. Oh, it's not a deterrent. I don't know. If you knew you were going to be put to death if you got caught, it'd be a deterrent. Or spend the rest of your life in jail, which is a waste of money. Yeah. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. We need to be spiritually and prayerfully prepared for life. If you're not prepared, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He gives us the resources to grow. He gives us the resources to learn. He wants us to hear from Him. And when I say hear from, I'm talking about in your heart. I'm not talking about you hear this voice. I want to say that over and over and over again. You ought to have a spirit of thankfulness. You ought to thank God for this, that you live in this country. You ought to thank God you have a church to go to. You ought to thank God that you've got God's Word. You've got a spouse that loves you if you're not fighting all day today. And then still you ought to thank Him for putting up with you. You ought to thank Him for giving you children or not giving you children or, you know, whatever it is. Just think about what you need to be faithful or thankful for and be thankful for that. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. I've probably got a whole other message. You know, the sheep hear His voice. Remember that? I'm not going to go into that this morning. It's a little bit longer. Remember the 10 lepers? How many were thankful? You know how many people in general are thankful to God? Maybe 1 out of 10. 10 out of 100, maybe 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000 even really to the extent that we ought to be thankful. You ought to count your many blessings. And the song says, name them one by one. You want to make a difference? Sit down today and write down how God has blessed you. Just write it out. Put it in your Bible. As another one comes to mind, write it out. You like air conditioning? You like heat in the winter? You like not have to drive everywhere, ride a horse? Man, you got pets? You like your dog, your cat, your horse? Your spouse? Not that that's related in that line of thinking. All right, let's all stand together. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that You would guide, lead, and direct during the invitation. Lord, help us to truly be thankful. Lord, we are sometimes a very unthankful people. We need to be more and more thankful, especially as we see the Your return approaching. God, we need You. We need to hear from You. We need to love You more and more and more. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and the eyes closed, the music plays.